Hi, this is Steve,
And this is Ray.
and this is Damned Connecticut's first inaugural podcast.
Woohoo!
And we're going to try to do a couple of these, throw them up on the site and see how everyone likes them. If we get a good response, we'll keep doing them.
Yeah.
And tonight we're going to start the show off with UFOs, and more specifically, UFOs in Connecticut and some of the groups that cover them. What's up first, Ray?
Up first. Well, recently there have been a couple of incidents in Connecticut. Thought we would talk about them. We can go back a couple of weeks ago. There was a flash along the East Coast that was seen pretty much all around. I mean, it looked like it was probably a meteorite, but of course, people have all sorts of
Yeah,
thoughts
and
and ideas.
our Facebook page lit up with that one.
Lit up like the night sky.
And we were able to see the northern lights around that time, I think. So I'm not sure, but from the descriptions, it sounded more direct and smaller than something that would show up like the northern lights. We've also, last night, we saw a lot of people on the internet and on Facebook talking about a large boom in Connecticut.
Right, that was Friday, the April 19th.
Right. And I thought I heard something here in Wallingford. I know a lot of people on the coast heard it.
I thought I heard something over in Chilton too. We'd gone out to dinner, my wife and I, and then we came back and it was like, it was a rumbling from where I was. It
Right.
wasn't as much a boom, so it may have been something different, but it was pretty distinct.
And it didn't, from what people were saying, is it didn't sound like thunder. We haven't had a lot of thunder since last year, so it could be, the first thunderstorm. I did see some lightning last night. It could have been that, but there were a lot of calls placed to the police departments on the coast, people asking what happened, and there's no explanation as of now
Right. It
what it
sounds
was.
like it could have been
So it was
anything from.
obviously, I think we can say with certainty it was a UFO. No?
Now, of course, obviously. Well, I've always been a big proponent of the idea that, and that UFO literally stands for unidentified flying object.
Right.
It does not mean
Spaceship.
alien spaceship, right?
Alien
It just
spaceship.
means there's something in the sky that isn't identified at the moment and may
Right.
wind up being identified at some point.
And what about you? Do you think there's people from outer space visiting our planet?
No, I do not.
No?
Unless unless they're really fond of, picking up and probing like people out in the backwoods. It seems what always
They
happens.
obviously have a fascination
Yeah,
with.
conveniently they never seem to probe like Pulitzer Prize winning
I
photographers or
know.
journalists or anything. It's always,
And I'm of the opinion, I don't think, obviously, I don't think there's any proof, reliable proof that we've seen UFOs from outer space here. But at the same time, I started to think about it, and I was, if you do the math and you do the speed of light, it's not possible, for anyone to get here at the speed of light, at least unless they left millions of light years ago. But then I started, that's a little bit egotistical of to think no one can think of another way, So I'm not going to say it's not possible, but I don't think we've been visited as
Yeah,
of.
I just tend to think if someone went through the
Yeah.
effort to get here from another galaxy, they wouldn't just kind of be poking around the edges. I think they would kind of make some sort of contact. I mean, direct contact. I mean, that's my thought. But
Well,
I mean, I love the.
apparently there's been, contact via the anal probes that people have, but other than that.
I was thinking something a little more overt, but I know there's been a series on I think it's History or Discovery talking about life and how long it takes to get other planets and alien contact. I mean, there's a couple of alien series on there. I'll say right off the bat, my least favorite and the one I refuse to watch is Ancient Aliens
Oh,
because
right, with the.
I'm not a fan of the theory. That that ancient humans were incapable of actually building these grand structures.
And we know, like the pyramids, we know the people that made them. We know the architects. We have the, you can see right. the blueprints.
Right, and there's evidence of, like, they start off with bad pyramids and move forward yeah. to more complicated pyramids. Yeah, well, the same thing in South America,
too. I had someone tell me the other day that, well, when they were building, or when they were looking at the inside of one of the pyramids, they found a spark plug to a car. So, I don't know. That one was pretty funny.
Yeah. So anyways, but so I tend to think, you know, all ancient alien show aside and everything, that we have not been contacted, that if someone came this far, they would make a show of it, I would hope. And actually, I kind of ascribe to that Stephen Hawking theory in terms of, like, you know, if someone is coming here from another planet, they may not have such noble intentions.
Exactly,
they
might be yeah.
to enslave us or... Yeah, you know, or pick us for food or whatever they want to do. I mean, we've got to be tasty. I mean, look at us.
I know.
The majority of us? Come on.
Yeah, especially here in right. the U.S.
Right, in the U.S., right? So maybe there is something to it. You know, sometimes they probe out in the woods. And
that's
maybe
true.
Maybe they're feeding, yeah. and we just don't
maybe
know.
Maybe they're it. Just taking the people no one's really that interested in.
Maybe they're starting with the tasty ones.
Yeah.
So
go on.
No, I was going to say, we were talking about UFO, you know, kind of getting a little back on track here, about UFO... like there's always seems to always be some sort of sightings in Connecticut. I talked about one that flashed along the East Coast a couple of weeks ago. There was one more recently, someone claiming to see on our Facebook page. They posted that they saw funky green lights over Groton, and got a nice discussion going. I mean, some people, you know, there's all sorts of theories between, you know, are you seeing earth lights? Are you seeing, you know, lasers from something like a laser pointer, or, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering too. The green one that was seen in the sky. I do know that you can hit an airplane with one of those laser pointers. You know, you have a plane up above. You hear the sound. You point a laser at it, and you see a little green light. I don't know if you'd actually see the light from here hitting, but I know they actually arrested someone not too long ago for doing that.
I was going to say, yeah, it is kind of frowned upon.
Yeah, so we don't recommend it.
No, we do not recommend it. Let's be clear.
I don't have one, so I couldn't do
right,
it.
But I don't want anybody going, oh, I heard it on a podcast. And next thing, you know, the FBI is kicking in our front door.
Yeah, we don't need that.
No, we don't need that. Not this week, anyway.
And, well, what about, you want to talk a little bit about MUFON?
Yeah, there are some pretty good sites of resources available that we go to on a pretty regular basis, or I'd like to look at online. And probably the most well-known one is the Mutual UFO Network, or MUFON. They have a pretty deep database. It's at MUFON.com, by the way. You can search it by state, by time, by date. It's really if you're interested in this, I highly recommend kind of poking around there and see what's there. I should say on a side note that I saw that that MUFON has an annual symposium every year out in Las Vegas. This year it's July 18th to 21st, and although I do not plan on attending this year, it sounds like something it'd be fun to go to at some point. But one of the things they do offer there is a field training class where they kind of teach you to be a field investigator, which I'd have to think would be pretty cool.
And is Mark D'Antoni?
Yeah, Mark D'Antonio. I think he is. I haven't talked to him. I haven't talked to him in a year or two at least. But I know last time I talked to him, he goes to that conference pretty regularly. He's been a speaker at that. If you look on our website, there's an interview that I did with Mark probably about 2 or 3 years ago. And he talks about, you know, looking at UFO pictures. He's he's an image researcher for MUFON, where he analyzes images and I thought it was interesting that he told me that about 99.9% of the images he gets are, like, just, you know, camera...
Artifacts.
Camera lens issues.
That's a really good interview, because this is someone that he's very skeptical, and he seems like a very smart man, and he does kind of throw everyone for a loop, because he does have his own experience on there, which is really interesting.
Yeah,
and so it adds a little credibility to that camp.
Yeah, and he does. He's an interesting guy. He does. He works as a model builder, most electronically and otherwise, but like to kind of test like lights and stuff like that. So he's an interesting fellow. We should probably have him back on at some point. I think he would very happily talk to us.
But, and, so you.
Go ahead. No, I was just saying, so we, I was looking through the MUFON database, and I just kind of checked that, you know, since January 1st, to give you an idea of how active the skies over Connecticut are, that there's been 10 different sightings, or 10, you know, sightings in Connecticut of different things, and just a couple of the descriptions are everything from an erratic flying object to 10 groups of sideways double V lights, triangular formations, a glowing ball of light, a bright green light, star-like orbs, a blimp-sized object going faster than a jet. So it's pretty wide a variety of things that people are seeing over the skies of Connecticut.
Yeah, and how about you? You ever see anything you can't explain looking up?
No, you know, it's funny. The closest thing, and this is one of the things Mark D'Antoni talked about, there are a lot of satellites out there that people often mistake for UFOs. They're actually, some of them can be pretty bright. And people see them and they think that they're seeing something otherworldly, and it's completely worldly.
I've never really seen anything unexplainable, but I remember a few years ago when I was in school, and I came out, I think it was a dirty smoker, then I went out to have a cigarette. And, you know, there was a plastic bag sitting right by my foot, and it just, the wind took it up, and it kept going up and up and up. And eventually it was probably I'd say about 300 yards up. And someone else came out and I said, "What do you think that is?" And they looked at it, he goes, "Oh my God." And it looked like it was moving much further than it could have been. I knew it was a plastic bag. But this, you know, the person I was speaking with really thought it was a UFO of some sort. And, the way the sun was hitting it, it looked like it was metal. But again, it was just a plastic bag. But yeah, I've never had anything. I want to see something.
I remember about 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I went out on a clam boat for the day for an assignment for my regular day job. And I brought my camera with me, and I was taking photos. And I was looking through my photos, and I saw this kind of odd object going back through. It was like around sunrise.
Clam boat, that's not slang for anything. That's
no, actual, no, that was actual, okay. No, it was actually oh, okay. A boat right. That clams was... in Long Island Sound. We were out by Charles Island. Idiot. I looked at the photo later. I didn't see anything at the time, and it looks like this giant cigar-shaped type of object. So I sent the image to Mark D'Antoni, who analyzed it for me and pretty quickly figured out that it was a scratch on the inner lens of the camera that had shown up. Because of the light, I was kind of pointing the light toward the rising sun. It was a beautiful sunrise, and the kind of must have had the right angle to make it look. But you know, I looked at it for a little while. I'm like, wow, this is really, you know, what is that?
Yeah,
and it looks like a physical object.
It did. It looked like almost like a spear, just sitting up in the sky. I was convinced.
Yeah, I wanted it to be, but then I was like worried about the whole idea. Like, oh, how convenient the guy who runs the site conveniently saw something, but it was not.
And we probably should have said this in the beginning, and maybe we will. I'll go back and edit. But we're not in any way experts, so you know, if we say something, you're like, "Well, that's not true." You know, we're more just like we would think a lot of people in Connecticut are, and we're just interested. We like all this weird stuff.
Right. We're very curious,
open minded, but you know, we're not diehard believers or disbelievers. We're in the middle, and it definitely is interesting. Right. I wanted to talk the sighting. I think it was 1985 or 87 in Waterbury. That was that's one I actually remember. I remember being at home. My uncle was a fireman in somewhere out by Waterbury, and he called my house and he asked my mother, you know, go outside and look up. I just saw something really strange in the sky, and a lot of people did. People were pulling over on the highway. It was actually May 26, 1987. I just remembered that. People were pulling over. There's a picture. If you go on the internet, you can find it. And it's probably one of the better pictures I've seen. It doesn't look like it could have been lanterns or anything like that. It is about three quarters almost of a circle, about three or four different color lights, at least from the picture that was taken. And the fact that a lot of people saw this makes it really interesting. That's the only one I remember in Connecticut that really seemed to stand out. And I was a young kid. I remember being a little scared because my mother was acting a little weird, you know, going outside. I think I was afraid of nuclear war at the time. So I think I was, you know, go outside and look up and look for...
It's funny when I see, like, the kind of lights, you know, that are supposed to be craft, I'm like, why, you know, why would aliens have... Lights on the outside of the craft. Like, we don't put...
You're going to bump into something.
I know. I don't think they're worried about... Like, I just don't understand that whole idea. Like, I love... so a lot of these... I'm looking... It's funny. We're just talking about this case and what we're talking about. We looked it up online. And there's a picture of it. And it's kind of a semicircle with these lights pretty... Like, your very standard flying saucer with lights around the outside of the saucer part. You know, the edge. And I'm like, who would design something like that? Aside from Steven Spielberg for Close Encounters.
Right. And that's another thing. If you look back at all the sightings, the sightings tend to reflect the technology at the time or what you know, people would think a UFO would look like. So, like, when they first came out, it was very
1947,
rudimentary UFO looking.
It was very saucery looking.
And now they're getting a little more high tech in their description.
Yeah, so. It is an interesting phenomenon that it kind of rolls like that. That the sightings do reflect kind of the societal technology and that kind of thing. We were talking a few minutes ago about UFO databases, and I mentioned the MUFON one. We were poking around. I found another good one. It's the National UFO Reporting Center. And that's at NUFORC.org. And there's a Connecticut division in that, too. And we were looking at that. And there's some, again, just going back to the beginning of the year, there's been 6 sightings in Connecticut alone. And just, again, this I just love the variety of items that you'll see. People see bars of light, orange orbs, a fireball, a bright metallic object, cigar, and your classic cigar-shaped object, which has been going back for a while. And the variety is always amazing to me.
Five orange fireballs over Cromwell.
Right?
Wow.
And then, a bright metallic oval object over Thomaston. That was back in January. And it's fascinating to me that, like, if aliens are coming from other planets, they're all using like a bunch of different cars. It's like, it's like used cars out there, you know, or it's like the fleet in Star Wars, you know, all different sizes and shit, or Battlestar Galactica, ragtag fleet that they're coming here to check us out in. It's never the same, you know.
Right. They always do seem to, and when they do come, and they never really seem to be very nice to the people they meet, you know? You would think maybe what someone would just say, I went up on their ship and we had a good time. And they told me about what's out there. How did it?
Right. E.T. was nice.
Yeah, he was nice.
Yeah, a lot of the aliens are, it seems as though they should, they come this way, they'd want them to come in peace as opposed to and be friendly and... Unless we don't offer anything. Maybe they have come. They have seen us and been like, you know, it's like a train wreck. You know, they're kind of like, you know what, let's just move on.
We're on the other side of the tracks.
Right. We're the white trash of the galaxy. Yeah. Just kind of being like, you know what, they just kind of, they see our programming. Can you imagine, like, how we look to other worlds? Like, just this.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, just.
We're the big smokestack in this,
you know, just like we're the trailer park of the galaxy.
Oh, that's a bad thought.
It's a bad.
Hopefully, thought. There's worse than us. Out there.
A planet of honey boo boo.
Yeah. All that's, you know, that's all going out into space.
Yeah. You know, one of the other things we were kind of, you and I were talking about that I thought it might be fun to kind of talk about was we were talking earlier about, you know, things in the sky. And I'd seen this a story recently, and it reminded me of this book that was out there back in the 1950s called They Live in the Sky. It was by Trevor James Constable. And also, this goes back further, Charles Fort talked about in a book called Low back in 1931, talked about the idea of creatures that live in the sky, like creatures live in the sea.
Hmm.
You know, because the sky is this great, you know, giant environment. And it's possible that things live in it, just like jellyfish live in the
sea. You made me think just now, you know, that's what came to mind, like a jellyfish, something luminescent that light might travel through
Right.
We wouldn't pick up, but...
But that somehow floats on the currents or lives in the sky, I mean, it's not a crazy thought.
It would have to be over 30,000 feet because we'd have them all over our planes' windshields.
Well, I mean, but think about it. On the flip side, we have things that are certainly 30,000 feet below the ocean that can live at those, you know, what people would think or what scientists thought would be depths that you wouldn't find anything that the water pressure True. Would crush it. I think it's logical to... think that there's a possibility that there are things at heights that normal creatures couldn't exist at.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that maybe, you know, the theory goes forward that maybe that some of the things that we see in the skies are
actual
living creatures.
Creatures of the planet.
It'd be kind of funky. You think we would have, you know, you would think when they die, they would land. Yeah, they would be laying all over the place. Unless they all happen to land in the ocean, but it was just...
Yeah, that...
But then again, we don't see a bunch of, like, you know, I always think, like, there should be dead birds everywhere.
Right.
There's so many of them, and you don't birds. Very rarely
I've never
see...
been hit by a dead bird.
Right, they don't just drop out of the sky.
I actually hit a bat once, but then, I saw it actually falling from the sky like a rock, and it stuck, I had a truck at the time, and it stuck in the front fender of my car. So that's my one experience with a dead falling animal.
I think that's one more than I have, so...
Want to wrap it up?
Yeah, I guess we could wrap it up. Okay. This is our inaugural one. We kind of 20 yeah. minutes seems like what we could expect anyone to kind of be patient to listen to us.
Yeah, and we're gonna go on, you know, from here, and we'll of course we'll do ghosts, demons. If you have any questions, you can email us at damnct@gmail.com, and our website is damnct.com. And we have Facebook, and we're starting with the Twitter a little. So
yeah, we're trying to stay on top of that. But
that's
we're going to try
DMCT.com.
We're going to try and do all this stuff, and going forward, you know, do different types of topics that are, you know, that are popular on our website, and hopefully, you know, it'd be. I was laughing. I was thinking before. I'm like, oh, it'd be fun to do a show on psychics. They should call us though.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, while we're recording
We're just waiting for that. We figure they'll call in right as we sit down for that one. We'll have the phone nearby.
They'll just call us because they'll know we're doing it. So, all right. Anyway, thanks for listening.
And again, I'm Steve.
And I'm Ray.
Good night.
Okay.